we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello and welcome, everyone. You are at Redemption Church. You are either here in the room or you are listening to us online or watching us online. We're happy to share a message of hope with you today. And that's what we have today. We have a message of hope. My name is Chris Fluitt. I serve as lead pastor here at Redemption Church. I'm a pastor, but what really defines me is that I'm loved and accepted by Jesus Christ. Really, there's what else really defines me better than that? Here's some interesting facts about Legos. We're right here. We're in the middle of our Lego series in the second week, and I thought you needed just some random facts about Legos. You didn't know this, but that's what you needed today. The Lego Company began in 1932, located in Billund, Denmark, and they were originally called Automatic Binding Bricks. Just a marketing whiz came up with that name. The name Lego, where did that come from? It came from the Danish phrase legot, however you want to say that. And it means play well. And so if you'll look around, you'll still see that Lego uses that tagline in their toy. During the holiday season, 28 Lego sets were sold per second. Oh, man. I would say they're doing pretty good. They're doing pretty good. Last week, we told you Legos are better than blocks. Because blocks stack while Legos connect. Very good. You are built to build, and you are created to connect. Although stacking is easier, you were created with a drive. There was something deep down inside you to go further, to build bigger. When blocks stack, they are merely near each other. But Legos form a connection and a bond that strengthens the building effort. And lastly, I want to remind you that connection happens through acceptance. The Lego pieces accept each other, and we as a body of Christ are called to accept each other. Today, I want to have a building contest, and I want to know, is anyone brave enough to be a volunteer today? Anyone be a volunteer? I need you to help me build something. Can you help me build something? Is anyone in the room able to help me out today? Matt Amison, come on up. You're going to help me build today. Excellent. Very good. Don't fall. Are you all right? You're making it. Okay. He was that excited. Come on down. All right. So right here, I want everybody to get a good shot of this. Right here is a wonderful little house, and it was created by our very own Rob Cortez. Let's give a hand to Rob Cortez. He is a Lego maniac. And here's what we need you to do. We want you to replicate this house right here using these blocks right here. It doesn't have to be perfect to scale, but you give us your interpretation, and we want to see who builds it better, all right? So at some point in my sermon, we're going to check back in with you and see how things are going, okay? All right. Excellent. Give Matt one more hand of applause. Excellent. In order to build something that will last, you must build on something that is solid. You must build on something that is unmovable and something that is unchanging. Would you agree? Who in here has ever dreamed of their dream home? That's why they call it a dream home, right? We've all have dreams of that dream home, all right? Here's what I want to tell you. No one ever dreams about the foundation. I'm just thinking about this beautiful just slab of concrete out there. Oh, man. Beautiful, right? No one does that. When you're thinking about your dream home, you're thinking about paint colors, right? You're thinking about room layouts. You're thinking about man caves. And every man said, amen. You're thinking about flat screen TVs. Receive that. In Jesus' name. You're thinking about furniture. You're thinking about feng shui. You're thinking about dining room tables and everyone gathered around them. All right. No one ever dreams about the concrete slab that is underneath the dream home, right? No one ever does that. Construction projects spend a large amount of time, energy, and money on a foundation. I'm right, Ackley, aren't I? Absolutely, it's of the utmost importance. It is the part of the house that's never celebrated in Better Homes and Gardens. I've never seen the concrete foundation slab issue of Better Homes and Gardens. Never seen it. But it is the part of the house, it is the part of the building process that ensures the longevity and strength of the home. If you want a home that will last, you need to have a foundation that will last. The foundation actually defines what you build. You don't lay down, oh, we didn't have enough money. We need to build a skyscraper, but we only had enough money for a foundation to build a house. So we'll just put the skyscraper on top of the house. It doesn't work that way. The foundation actually defines the length, the height, the breadth of your building. How heavy your building is going to be. Is it going to be one story? Is it going to be a two story? Is it going to be a skyscraper? A skyscraper requires a foundation with a greater depth than the other buildings. And when you think about the depth, it goes down and it goes down and it goes down. It's amazing. It's a lot like a tree's. The bigger a tree is, the bigger it has a root system as its foundation. It does not matter what materials you are built with. Talking about you. It doesn't matter what materials you are built with. It doesn't matter who you are built by. As much as it matters what you are built on. As you start this year and you try to build something, we need to ask you this question. What are you trying to build upon? What is your foundation? Everything has to be built on something. Everything. Everything in nature, everything in the world. There's even our universe is swirling around and it's seemingly built on some kind of law of gravity and everything's holding together. It's just amazing. You look down in the very smallest parts of molecules, molecular life, and you see that they're built on something. Everything is built on something. There are a lot of things you could build your life upon. A lot of things. But when selecting a foundation, you need something that is unchanging. You need something that is unchanging. Jesus told us about the wise man that built his house upon. Very good. There's a wise man built his house upon the rock. All right. Then there was a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. All right. What happens in the story? A storm comes, right? And the wise man's house, it stood firm. And the foolish man's house, it fell. Great was the fall of it, your Bible tells us. The storm came, and the house that's built on the foundation, an unchanging, always staying the same foundation, fidelity, that house, it stood firm. In your life, you may be tempted to build your life on yourself. As we're looking at this new year and you're thinking, I want to do these great things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invest in myself. Now I want to tell you, is that a bad thing? No, not necessarily. There's some great things about that. Self-improvement. That's a great thing. Learning some discipline. Looking in your life and saying, man, I'm way out of line in these areas of morality. I'm apt to do these things. When the going gets tough, I do this. So if you want to build on yourself, that requires some self-improvement. That's pretty good. But there's some other things that might not be so great. How about your ego? You're building on yourself, and suddenly you're the center of your building project. You're the center of your world. You're the one doing everything, so you're the most important person. Caring only for yourself. Well, you know, I need me time. I need my time. I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. I'm doing my stuff right now. I got to do my stuff. I'm doing all my stuff. All right, how about then greed? I got to get all I can. I got to get all I can because this I'm building this life for myself. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to build for myself. And here's the other thing. We'll throw this out there. Are you changeable? If you're going to build something, you want to build yourself. You want to build what you're going to build on something that is unchanging. Are you changeable? Yeah, you're changeable, aren't you? In fact, man, who we are in the morning sometimes is not who we are at night. We were like, where? I used to be so happy. I was drinking coffee early that morning. I was happy then. We have this changeableness about us. And depending on what period, I mean, in a day, we feel like we could change. But then over the course of years, or the course of struggle, over the course of disappointment, over the course of hardship, you will find yourself changeable. So let me tell you just real quick as we move on. You shouldn't build what you want to build merely on yourself. How about this one? Building on your family. You'd be real tempted maybe to build everything in your life, revolve everything around your family. Is family terrible? No, family's a good thing. Caring for other people, that's a good thing. You just took a step beyond yourself, and you aren't just me, me, me. I'm caring for my own. I'm caring for other people. That's good. But even though you're caring for others, when it's your family, you're actually caring for your own. So you have these delineated lines. I care this much, really. You really haven't moved outside of yourself that much if you're just caring for your family. Also, greed can show up there, right? Materialism. We have real, I think we have real issues with that in parts of this North Dallas area. We think our children deserve the absolute best. Says who? I mean, let's get real. I've met your kids. I'm just kidding. Your kids are wonderful, all right? Every kid, I believe, deserves a chance. But there's something weird that gets into us when we are trying to build everything on our family. We say that our kids deserve better than everyone else. And that gets really weird when you say it like that. That's one of those hidden secret things that gets in there. You know, we probably shouldn't spend this money, but you know what? Let's pull out the credit card. Let's charge it because our kids deserve this. Whoa, hold on there. What are you building on? And is your family changeable? Your family is absolutely changeable. You go from a time when they're all kids. You go from a time they're all adolescents and teenagers, and then they are gone. This happens all the time. There's a young family. They buy a house, or they rent a house, right? And then they have kids, so we need to get a bigger place. We gotta get it. Oh my, our kids are growing, so we need a bigger place, and we get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then our kids are gone, and we're now we need to downsize. And it's like your whole life you built it this way, and then it changed drastically. If you build your life, if you build the life you want merely on your family today, I want you to know it might not last all that long. There's so many people, they thought, this is our house. We're going to have this house forever. And then, no, they didn't. All right? Just a few years later. So, you are changeable. Your family is changeable. How about your work? How about your career? I mean, you are going to work. You are going to work and work and work. That's something that I got to tell you. This was not the last week of your life that you're going to work. You're going to keep working and needing to make the bills, right? So, this is pretty good, right? You're goal-oriented. If you're focused on your job, you're focused on your work, and that's great for growth. All right, all this other growth stuff, like you talk about your heart and your discipline and all this other stuff and relationships, that's kind of esoteric. That's just kind of out there. But here, this is like really just easy to measure. It's easy to understand. It's very measurable. I do this much work. I get this much money. I get a promotion. Now I do this much work. I get that much more money. If I go up into the business, then I get even more money. I get a bigger retirement. All this stuff makes sense, whereas other things, just they aren't that measurable. You can spend time with your family. You can spend time with your wife, and maybe you never see the real measure of growth there, but your job, that just makes sense. I believe that's why a lot of guys disappear into their job and their family has no idea where they went, because it makes sense at work. You put in X, you get Y. It just makes sense. And there's rewards right at your work. There's rewards. There's money. You get a better station in life. You need that bigger house. But is it changeable? Oh, yeah, it's changeable. You can lose that job. You can lose that. You could have a bad quarter and the CEO is canned and everybody he hired. The place could go under, and we've seen that. We've seen business after business go downhill. And most people, they have regrets at the end of their life. And what are they usually? Almost always, I spent too much time in the office. Maybe you shouldn't build on that. Well, okay, your work. How about what? Are we good? You're just too quick. Come on up. We're going to do this right here. Come on up. Hey, let's look at this. So right here we have the Lego home built by Rob Cortez. Make sure they can see that. This is Rob Cortez right here. And here we have Matt Amason. He has built his version of the Lego home. He did a pretty good job, didn't he? Let's give him a hand. Cool. All right. Very good. Now, all we need to do is we need to move our houses to this judging table. So can you pick up your Lego block and can you move it over here to the judging station? Be very careful. I don't want us to drop anything on it. All right. Very good. Right here. So that's going to be right there and we're going to judge this one. Matt, now, can you pick up your house and move it over here for the judging portion of our competition? Go ahead. Oh, yes. I insist. All right. Good job. Did you get everything? All right. All right. Now let's stand over here. Okay. So, whose house won this competition? Right, this was a dirty, rotten trick. I made you work that whole time. High five to Matt Amason. High five to little Rob. Y'all can be seated. Thank you so much. That was an awful, mean, dirty trick. See, when you're building something, you need to build it on something that's unchanging. It's important what it is built on. Now, this was looking so good over here, Matt, but just a little change of moving from here to here. Now, this Lego, it stayed together pretty good because it is built on something. I want to talk to you more about the success and accomplishments. You want to build something on your success? Oh, man, I have so many trophies. I have so many compliments. Man, you can tell right now that's going to go downhill really quick because your public opinion and your admiration, let me tell you, it is all but too changeable. Your status in life, completely changeable. Can I speak to us Americans for a moment? We take for granted that America is always going to be America and the dollar is always going to be worth a dollar. Read a history book. Chances are very good in your lifetime it won't, all right? Don't mean to put anybody in a panic, but you better build something with a better foundation than the good old U.S. of A. Can I get an amen? How about this one? This one's tricky. I'll end with this one on this. Charity for others. Caring for others, because, I mean, you're like, Pastor Chris, what could go wrong there? Caring for others. Is that greedy? No, it's helping others. It's making a difference. You're making a difference. You're helping others. Well, let me tell you this. There will always be someone that you have to help. Jesus himself tells us that in Mark 14 and 7. He says that the poor will always be with you. You will never help the last poor person and suddenly there's a big confetti drop and balloons everywhere and said, congratulations, you've just ended poverty. And what's so crazy about that is every politician everywhere is just about war on poverty. We're going to end poverty once and for all. How? The poor will always be with you. So does that mean you shouldn't help anybody. No, that's not the point here. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're always reaching into what you have and what you've worked for and the time you have and the strength you have to give to someone else, that can drain you really quickly. Take the example of Jesus. Did he help people? Did he feed people? Did he heal people? Did he ever say, that's enough, I need to go rest? Yes, he did. He got in a boat, didn't tell anybody where he went, and the folks got angry because they wanted another free dinner. It's in your Bible. Read it. Let me tell you this. You need to build on something that's unchangeable, and let me tell you, your ability to help people is changeable. The amount of strength you have, the amount of money you have, the amount of people around you that are needing and crying out for help. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. Your motives are dangerous. Because sometimes you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And so if you build yourself on charity and helping others, I've got to ask you, you got to make very sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. You need to build something that is unchanging. I want you to behold the power of the Lego. This right here, it just held together really well until I, don't tell little Rob. All right. Till I picked it up. It held together really well. There's a secret in all this. It is called a base plate. It's called a base plate. So, within the Lego, there's this really boring piece that nobody really talks, but it is so essential. You put this, it's called a base plate down, and then you build on top of this. See, if these blocks would have had something underneath them, he could have lifted the thing under the house and had much better opportunity to get it from here to the judging station. Here's one of the power of the Lego. It is actually built on something. It is connected to something. Legos are built on a foundation. What you build does not fall apart. What you build on is unchanging. You following me? So what should we use as our foundation this year? Because we have spent way too many years over in this area. I'm going to get in health this year. I'm going to get good health. Or I was in a good church service, and man, I heard a sermon that just got a hold of my heart. And man, you were like, build it. It's beautiful over here. And then Monday came. Crash. You've ever been there? Right. What are we going to build this year? We're in January. We're like in 2 weeks into this year. And you're like, I'm going to the gym. 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 What gym? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking. Anybody follow me? What are you going to build your life on this year? What is your foundation? Because you're called to build something great. I see some young couples in here. Y'all called to have a family. I see some of you, you're in a different stage of life with grandchildren. You're called to be the best grandparent in the world. Some of you are right in the smack of in middle of like your earning power in life. You take advantage of that. But what are you going to do with this year? What are you going to do with this time? You've got this heart to do more than you've ever done. It requires a foundation. We'll remind you that the height you want to build requires a greater depth of foundation. Here is what God built his house upon. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church. We know that. But here, this even shows us a little bit more. This is what he builds his church upon. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles. Everyone said apostles. And prophets. With Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Everyone said chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You need to be a dwelling place for God's Spirit, all right? Amen, the Holy Ghost. Can I brag on God's building for a moment? I'm not talking about the space here at 903 West Parker Road in Plano, Texas, right here on the northeast corner of Parker and Alma. Come on down and see us. Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about God's building, right? I'm talking about the church. The church started with 120 believers, and now it measures in the billions. That's that are alive right now. If we took the entirety of that time period, it would be way more than just a few billion, let me tell you. It broke down racial barriers long before your government passed laws to break down racial barriers. That's what your church did. That's what God's church did. How about this one? It fed the hungry long before social government systems came along and said, you know, let's come up with a plan to feed the hungry. The church, God's building, reached down to the lower segments of society, and it took care of widows and orphans, and even made this claim: the purest form of our religion is that we take care of widows and orphans. That's God's building. The first educational systems and centers of art are found where? In God's church. His church is fearless and willing to cross into boundaries that the military deems unsafe. The government says, don't you go. But let me tell you, there's already a missionary right there. His church stands before kings. His church stands before lions in coliseums. It stands before certain death. His church holds the hands of those that are dying with disease when no one else will. The purest form of his church is always found in those that are downtrodden, those that have no large offerings to give, those that do not have powerful position. The church finds itself literally on its knees taking care of them. His church stands when governments fall. Caesar killed every Christian he could find, but he couldn't stop God's building process. Hitler imprisoned every Christian who stood against him and told him to stop. And let me tell you, the history books don't tell us near enough about that side of history. The church did not stop, even though it was in prison and died there. Right now, Christians are slaughtered at the hands of hatred and at the hands of anger. But his church has not stopped. It will not stop until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we give it up for God's building, the church of Jesus Christ? It has become really popular to hate churches in society. Don't you dare jump on that train. Jesus died for his church. He's calling everybody to go into the church, and he's calling you to step out of the door and be a light set on a hill and be the salt of the earth. That's what he's calling you to do. His church increases because it's built on a foundation that is deeper than any foundation. Amen. His church is built on Ephesians 2:20. Says it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself. Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Can we talk about the prophets for a second? The prophets spoke the word of God. You look to the early parts of your Bible, the first half of your Bible. You might call it the Old Testament if you want. Those are prophets right there. And they're speaking the word of God. They prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They gave words of correction to leave behind idolatry and get back to the true foundation of the word of God. And they, many of them, died for it. The church of Jesus Christ is built on the prophets. Don't you be afraid of the word prophet. Don't you be afraid of being used in the Spirit to prophesy. Because the church is built on it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Apostles. What book do we read about the history of the apostles? The book of Acts. The book of Acts, church. That's the apostles. Redemption. We need to be built on that church. You see, that's when the church is born, right there, filled with the Spirit. As Jesus said, they are born again right there in Acts chapter 2. We need to look and act like that church. We need to have that church's heartbeat. We need to have that church's courage. We need to have that church's boldness. We need to have that church's theology. We need, I'll just go on there. There's some churches around say, oh, baptism's not a big deal. Read the book of Acts. It is a big deal. Oh, we'll just lead them to the sinner's prayer. Read the book of Acts. It's not there. It's not really that important. Let's just have a church service. No, it's of the utmost importance that we not only have a church service and that we meet together, but that we send someone out. We've got this money. Oh, my goodness, Lord, here's this money. What do you want us to do with it? It's all there in the book of Acts. You want a church that was built and just changed the entire world? It turned the world upside down? That's the church of the book of Acts. We need to be that kind of church. We need to have that kind of church's theology. They preached about Jesus all the time. They were never afraid to tell anybody about Jesus. We need to be that kind of church. Look at somebody say, I need to be that kind of church. We need to have that same spiritual experience as that church. That church did not just sit there nicely and fold its hands. It had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the next thing you know, that Holy Spirit has just changed their life forever. That Holy Spirit would meet some people in the desert, smack them to the ground, and they'd go, what happened? Who was that? And the voice would say, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting, Saul of Tarsus. And that man would dramatically become Paul of Tarsus. We need to look like that church, my friends, because his church built on the prophets and it's built on the apostles. Our vision here at Redemption Church is to be a first century church that connects to a 21st century world. I want you to know that. Every beginning of the year, we try to bring that out. That needs to be something that's in your heartbeat. What is the vision of Redemption Church? To be a first century church that connects to a 21st century world. And there are six values that we find in the apostolic church we read about in the book of Acts. I'm going to tell you about those qualities very quickly. Number one, they were centered in Jesus. Every sermon series was about Jesus. Every time they opened their mouth, they talked about Jesus. They went to a new city. They didn't ask, well, what do you think we should talk about? Let's talk about Jesus, how he was born, how he died, how he was buried, and how he is resurrected, and how he can heal everybody in the city. Bring all your sick out. Let's see him healed. Number two, there was spiritual transformation. They were not just happy to have people in the room. They wanted to see those people set free from all their addiction, all their bondage. And if they had a demon or a sickness, they wanted it healed. They wanted to see spiritual transformation. Number three, they were a community. They went much further than saying, well, hello, Barbara, how are you today? Well, it is really nice weather. All right, I'll see you next Sunday. No, they were a community, and they shared life together. They shared their property together. They shared whatever they had together. They broke bread together daily. Number four, they were all about the mission. They had not forgotten that Jesus Christ himself told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to see people baptized. They had never forgotten about it. They were always carrying the mission wherever they went. Sometimes the life would put them in weird situations where they're running for their life, and like Philip is an example. He's running for his life. He's going through the city of Samaria. But while he's in the area of Samaria, he doesn't forget his mission. And he ends up saving an entire city while he's running for his life. What a way to run for your life, Philip. Number five, they connected to culture. This was a church that didn't just say, all you losers, you need to join us. No, they stepped down in the culture. The Christian church stepped down into Jewish synagogues. The Christian church stepped into court throne rooms where kings were. This Christian church went to Mars Hill. You read about Paul going to Mars Hill, where there is every idol offered in worship. We got Zeus, we got Hermes, we got Aphrodite, you can name them. And he walks right up there and says, I want to preach to you about the unknown God you've never heard about. Well, what did he do? He even quoted one of their own poets. They were not afraid of the culture. They walked in the culture and they brought Jesus right in the middle of the culture. Church, that should be us. And lastly, I'm going to tell you this. They were willing. There was just a willingness about them. What do you need us to do, Lord? Yes. Sometimes the Lord would just show up through a word of prophecy or a word like a gift of the Spirit moment. And they would say, like, you know how Paul and Barnabas got sit on the mission field as the first missionaries? They were in a church service just like this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set aside Paul and Barnabas to be my missionaries. All right. Paul and Barnabas, I think they're going to need some money. Let's give them some money, whatever they need. That's how it worked. They didn't say, let's have a church board meeting and let's have a vote on. Let's find willing candidates. Let's find the best candidates and let's have a vote system on. No, the Holy Spirit was so free to speak right into them and call them. But I was going to do this in my life. No, the Holy Spirit just spoke to them and called. Are you willing for that? If Jesus Christ is your foundation, that could happen. Now, that can happen if other things are more important because you're building somewhere else. Amen. Those are the six qualities of a first century church. I want to see all of those right here at Redemption Church. Would you clap your hands if you agree? I want to see those things. Lord, do those things in us. You're watching online. I want those things active in you. As good as the apostles and prophets were, can I tell you, they weren't enough. Because it talks about Jesus. It tells us that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? A cornerstone is also called a foundation stone. It is to be the first stone, one of the very first, if not the very first stone, that is laid in the building process. The rest of the building actually revolves around the cornerstone. It is usually the largest, most solid rock in the entire construction. If the builder will keep an eye on the cornerstone, it will help him keep all the walls straight. If the builder will keep an eye on the cornerstone, he'll build a strong building. He'll build a tall building. The building will not have limits to it because the cornerstone, he's building according to the cornerstone. That cornerstone gives him a reference point for the building, and it also serves as the strength and foundation of that building. You don't just need a foundation, you need a cornerstone. If what you're building is kind of out of whack and it's kind of out of line, when was the last time you looked at the cornerstone? When was the last time you looked at Jesus and said, all right, we're out of kilter here. Let's repent. Let's get this correct. Lord, prepare me. Make me your building, Lord. Like your word says, make me your temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. In life, when you have questions on what you need to do, when you have questions on how you need to do it, when you have questions that say, I don't even know if I'm believing right or I'm walking right. God, did I miss you? I think you wanted me to do this. Let me tell you, you need to look to your foundation stone. You need to look to your cornerstone. You need to look to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something real quick. I want to apologize for the way preachers treat the Bible. And this might be surprising to you. Here's something that's said a lot, and it's starting to really bother me. I don't want to ever hear it said here. Well, it's in the Bible, and it's pretty simple. The Bible is actually one of the most complex books ever written. You're way oversimplifying the Bible if you look at that. The Bible is a very complex book. There are scriptures that are taken completely out of context because the context you have to look into, you have to study. You can get in real trouble here. But the Bible does not say the book is your cornerstone. You see, sometimes it's really hard to interpret the words of a prophet over thousands of years ago. It's sometimes hard to know the context of what Corinthians was going through when they wrote that about Corinthians. But if you will look to the cornerstone, see, I don't always get all the context, but I understand Jesus because I met him one day. And I know his love for me. So if somebody brings up some scripture that says, see right here, God doesn't love people. I'm like, What are you talking about? I'm looking at the cornerstone right here, and it lines up. He is love. What are you talking about? You're looking at the cornerstone. Does this make sense? You're actually using the cornerstone to understand Scripture. You're actually looking at Him to correctly understand the context. And anything that's out of line with the cornerstone, let's reinvestigate this, because this needs to line up. If you've got some crazy Scripture, here's one. God hated Esau. It says there in Romans that God hated Esau, and there's a Scripture, I believe it's Isaiah that says it, the prophet. So does God absolutely, He hates some people. That's what they say. Oh, no, my friend, you need to get a new context there. You need to get a new interpretation, because God's not saying He hates Esau. I've preached on this. If you've got questions on that very Scripture, I can bring that to you. Because I'm not looking at that Scripture solely. I'm looking at the cornerstone, and I've got the interpretation where it lines up completely with the cornerstone. Jesus absolutely loves us all, my friend. Look at the cornerstone. In Him, in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:21 says, in Him, not in His denomination, but in Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's the cornerstone. In Him, everything's joined together. If things are disjointed in a church, that church needs to look to Jesus. If there are things disjointed in your home, you need to look to Jesus. If there's things disjointed in your spirit, in your person, who you are, you need to look to Jesus. Because in Him, the whole building is joined together and it rises. It rises. Can anyone testify that they used to have a different cornerstone in their life? Like, you look to other things to line up. Maybe you looked, and maybe some of those things weren't totally bad. Like, you had some advice given to you as a kid, and you always looked at that, and like, I always remember my mama said all this, like Forrest Gump, right? He had this cornerstone. His mama was his cornerstone. Mama said, love's like a box of chocolates right there. Right? You might have those, but let me tell you, they'll let you down every time. You need to have a different cornerstone that is unchanging. I want to tell you that life is better, it's easier, it's stronger with Jesus as your cornerstone. It's easier as in it makes more sense. I'm not saying it's problem-free. Don't think that. I'm saying that when you have Jesus at your cornerstone, your blueprint suddenly makes sense. What you're trying to build seems possible. Here's what you need to know. You need a true, unchanging foundation. That's something you got to know. You need to have that. You need to have that in the choices that you make. An unchanging and true foundation. You need it to build the life you desire. All the foundations you're tempted to build on are actually fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The better you, instead of building on you and making you the foundational center of your life, no, if you look to Jesus, he will make a brand new you, and it'd be more better, amen? If you want a better family, if you want a better family existence, don't make family the center, make Jesus the center. You want a better work life? You want more blessing and better finances? You want more success? You want, look to Jesus. He'll be the center of all those things. Whatever it is that you're looking for, if you're looking to help other people, don't make that the center. Your motive could be way off, but if you make Jesus Christ the center, oh man, if you make Him your cornerstone, it's going to work. It's going to work. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33 says this, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." You need but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, He says it pretty clearly. The godless pagan, the person that's not putting God at the center and His word and His son at the center, they're just running after everything they need. But if you seek first the kingdom, you make that your cornerstone, He will give you all those things. Anybody a witness in the house? It's true. It's true. As I draw to a close, I want you to last know this. This is something you need to know today. Others will build upon you. We talked about that foundation built on prophets, built on apostles, Jesus Christ. the chief cornerstone, but can I tell you that people are going to build upon you? Not just Jesus, but also you. 1 Corinthians 3:10. This is exactly what Paul tells us. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. The foundation I laid, now someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Legos build on these foundations. I told you they're called base plates. But Legos are just doubly awesome because every Lego builds on top of a Lego. I'm sure none of this will blow you away, but that connects there. And then you could connect here. It's really important, mom and dad, that you're being careful how you're building, as Paul said. Because one day, your little girl, your little boy, is going to be building on the foundation you laid. The Apostle Paul, he says, be careful how you build. Be careful not just because it's your life. Be careful because it's someone else's life too. It would be terrible if you handed them a foundation that was completely wrong. It'd be terrible if you gave them a foundation that had Jesus not at the center of it, but had something at the center of it that made it a warped, twisted, messed up building. You need to build something that is strong enough to support those that come behind you. It's really, you see this happen in faith life all the time with some people. They have one person in this family that was just a rock solid Christian. They really built a foundation on Jesus. And then they had a child that did it less. And then they had another child. Now, so now we're on a third generation. And that third generation, they just became an Easter Christmas Christian. And then after that, there's no foundation left. What is there to be built on anymore? You need to build something that is strong enough to support those that come after you. You're called to do that, Redemption Church. We aren't called to just build something for us today. We're called to build something for the next generation. There's a foundational moment for you today. Something can happen to you in these next moments that could completely change the course of your life. Have you ever had a foundational moment like that with Jesus Christ? Man, what I've learned about Jesus is sometimes those moments happen and you didn't know they were going to happen. I've been at a pizza buffet before, eating pizza, probably committing the sin of gluttony, definitely committing the sin of gluttony. And the Lord chose that moment. He spoke to me and I heard him and I spoke with the Lord and I had a foundational moment right there. I don't know what you're trying to build today. I don't know what's in your heart. I know that something's there, but I want to tell you right now, in this moment, in this altar, it's a foundational moment. Are you ready? Why don't you come? Why don't you build something with the Lord today? Why don't you make him your chief cornerstone? Maybe you need to just take a moment and just look over your life and say, God, this is an area of my life that's completely out of whack. Lord, I'm going to look to you, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to ask you to fix this in me. Lord, I'm going to ask you to fix my anger issue. Lord, I'm going to ask you to, my dishonesty, my, straighten me out there, God. Lord, I've been searching for other things, Lord, and I see right now that that's not best for me. You're best for me. If you want special prayer, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We believe God is in this house and that he wants to do something in you that could change you forever. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call out to you. I ask that you would be in this place right now and that you'd reach all the people in this room, Lord, just like you've reached us over and over again. Help us, Lord. Help us to build something in you, God. Lord, this drive that you've given us to build our family, Lord, help it to be right. Let you be the foundation of that. Lord, not our family. Lord Jesus, Lord, we've got some young people. They're looking for that future family. They're looking for their career, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, let them learn right now in Jesus' name that the key is you, God. In the name of Jesus, the key is you. It's not our effort. It's not who we are. But we push you, God, as the chief cornerstone, and we are built together in you. Father, in Jesus' name.
God wants to do the building.
Your Bible says, he that builds the house, except the Lord build the house. He that builds it labors in vain. God actually wants to build your life. He wants to build your home. And I got to tell you, what he wants to build is better than what your designs are. He is the master builder. He is. He's the original creator. He's got a way to max out all your capacity. He is joy. Oh, joy is who he is. So he's got a way to max out your joy, that your joy would be full. That's what his word says. I've got one more scripture I want to share with you real quick. If you just, you can stay standing. Don't feel like you have to go back to your seats. This is going to be quick. But I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 together. This is something I never really heard talked about growing up. Verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on. Everyone said, go on. To maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Verse 2. Instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Going back to verse 1, I want to tell you something. This is something that we do a lot as Christians. We've got this thing to build. We've got the foundation here. We've even got there's our chief cornerstone right there. We've got this foundation happening, and we're building on here. Oh, but I messed up. I wasn't supposed to put that there. I need to start over. Let me lay this foundation again. All right. Jesus is real and he loves me. All right. Now, I repent and he actually forgives me. And then I went and sinned again. Here, let me lay this foundation again. I'll get there. Y'all just hold tight. I'm going to build this thing. What does it say? It says, go on, build something bigger. You can't ever build something if you're always taking what you built and taking it down to the foundation. You'll never get anywhere. I know I'm talking to somebody. Because this is all of us. We want to go further in Jesus. Oh, but no, we have to go very back to the... Some of you are always going back to the place, God, do you really love me? If you have to go back to there all the time, you're never going to get anywhere, Jonathan. It's believing that and standing on it and letting that be foundational in your life. Now you're ready for the next piece. And that's what's so great about God. You can repent without having to tear apart the entire building. Y'all know that, right? When you repent, it's not like, oh, all the things I ever did in God don't exist anymore. See, that's one of the things I love about God, Ackley. When you repent, all your sins are washed away, but all the good you've ever done, it stays there. All the sin that you did that you're so ashamed of, it's gone. You're set free. But every good thing, everything that he's done for you, every testimony you have, it's still there. I love that in Jesus Christ. Do not lay again the foundation of repentance. You ought to know what repentance is so you can build the next thing. You ought to know what faith in God is. Don't lay the the foundation of faith and go, well, I don't know, brother. I'm just having trouble trusting God. It just makes me want to shake you. Are you kidding? You've seen him forgive you of your sins. You've felt his presence. You've seen what he can do. Let's not have to build this foundation. Again, verse 2. Let's not lay again the foundation of instruction about baptisms.
Well, the other day someone told me something about baptism. I'm just not sure anymore.
Stop it. Stop it. That is foundational. Don't let someone come up and take that out of your life. You were baptized in the name of Jesus and all your sins were washed away. Praise God. Don't let anybody take that from the laying on of hands, the work of ministry in your life. This was something going on in Hebrews. He was saying, don't let somebody tear down this foundation, the resurrection of the dead. Well, I don't know if I can believe that. Yes, you'll never build everything you can build in God if you have to keep going down to the bare bones foundation. Let me tell you, I don't know where you are, but there's something in your life you've never built past, because every time you've built it, you keep coming back. And maybe you have a sin problem in your life and you keep coming back. But let me tell you, that doesn't take you back to the bare bones of it. That doesn't take, you don't have to lay again the foundation. You know that you repent and he loves you. You know about the faith of God. You know about baptism. You know about those things. So go on to maturity. Go on to maturity. Your word says that we will all that come into the unity of the faith until we all reach maturity, which is the full measure of Christ, that we're going to grow into the full measure of Jesus Christ. But you can't do that if you keep going back to ground one, step one. You got to grow past that, Redemption Church. Wherever you are, I am sick and tired of Christians having to go back to step one. Now, does Jesus really love me? It happens far too often. Don't lay again that foundation. There are things God has called you to. Don't doubt it. He called you to it. Does God want to bless your marriage? Yes, he called you to it. You are married. He wants to bless you in it. Does God want to use me? Yes, I've got this gift. Can God actually? Yes, yes, yes. Now let's not have to say this next week. Let's start using it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. God is so good. He wants to build great things in all of you. You are his Lego. You are his building block. You are his pieces. You are what he is building his kingdom.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.